Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live broadcast. It is a nice Wednesday evening, broadcasting to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky. And joining me also from the fine state of Kentucky tonight so far is R.G. Westerman. And shortly in progress, we should be joined by the mysterious one, Daniel Dark, as we get underway in episode number 269. And yeah, it's going to be a great show, great guest ahead. And RG is ready, and she is on a roll creatively, on a roll, folks. I mean, books, movies, I mean, just on fire. What can I say?
And Corey Feldman, one of my tweets was liked by Corey Feldman, so I'm like in, you know what I mean?
I tell you, you are on a hot streak. I mean, definitely. I mean, yeah, from your filmmaking, your writing, now celebrity interactions. I wish my world was quite as nearly as exciting at the moment. Mine is just a drudgery of spreadsheets and posts and posts and posts and more posts and then a few more posts and then some then editing work and all. But the good news
is
I still get
my making it happen though. You're like a what do they call it? Like a change maker. You just walk in, and you're like, this town needs a convention. I'm gonna build one. So.
Instigator, maybe, you know, like Tommy V. Smith, I'm an instigator. And speaking of him, he's in the chat room and with Sandy Lender, and looks like Clayton is back from his Western vacation. So, yeah, beware, folks. Yeah, the devil is back in the chat room. And hello, Clayton.
Carol.
Good to see you. And Carol is there. Carol Preflatish is there. So it is awesome. Awesome. And great group of folks. And it's going to be a good night because we have just a super special guest. And it's definitely a Kentuckiana favorite, a Imaginarium favorite. And we'll leave it there for just a few more minutes. But it's been a good week for the most part. You know, we've been, like I said, I've been just working away at convention stuff. And it just keeps on getting better. I mean, it's not bragging. It's not hyperbole. Just the two panelists were incredible. I mean, just reading through the bios of these people, I'm like, wow, what a group we are assembling this year. It's scary.
Excited.
Yeah, the one I just announced, Jeffrey James Higgins. He looks just fascinating. He's a former reporter, and obviously he's been in combat zones. He's a retired supervisory special agent who received both the Attorney General's Award for Exceptional Heroism and the DEA Award of Valor.
Wow.
Was in combat against the Taliban. And physically wrestled a suicide bomber and dealt with continents during his career. And as you can imagine, he writes thrillers. Perfect.
Oh, wow.
He writes thrillers and creative nonfiction and essays and really excited to actually meet him in person. Yeah, he's from Virginia. Then out of Washington, D.C. this morning, and I want to make sure I pronounce her name correctly, Sako Toumi. And S-A-K-O-T-U-M-I, Sako Toumi, and she is an artist and author out of Washington, D.C., and was the key artist on a popular webcomic called Eternity Hotaru from 2012 to 2020. She was published as a designer in the Wall Street Journal, and now she has a debut novel. So, we got just amazing folks. I mean, it is really coming together, and the content. Well, it's a big load, and Holly's. You know, like I said, it's just been a mountain of work, but double the content. You know, cause we got a full virtual programming slate, full in person one. So it's just a mountain of content, but. But, you know, that's good. You know, it's a good step forward. And I,
yep.
you know, just
yep.
Everybody needs to take advantage of it. It's there.
Yep.
So.
That's exciting. I'm happy to see people in person. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to the most is, like, face-to-face interaction.
Yeah. That's big with me, too, and I've been starved for it, and I hear it from a lot of the guests that they're coming and attendees, people that have just registered. Mm-hmm. Saw an Instagram post today from an author I think who's got one book out so far, a newer author, who was really mm-hmm. excited about that, seeing people in person, meeting people face-to-face again. I think, you know, a lot of nervousness heading into 2021, but I think that mm-hmm. people are finally starting to feel it now and get excited and not be quite as worried
light
about
at the end of the tunnel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a train coming our way. Yeah. Just to make that clear.
Hey, don't chase it.
Yeah, I know, but I have to specify whenever people say light at the end of the tunnel, you know, I've got to specify what kind of light we've got here. So that is awesome. And congratulations
cool.
to Sandy Lender. She's getting recognized in the media. She did they're going to interview her tomorrow on her 3-day novel contest win. So apparently I need
so
to catch
awesome.
Up on Sandy Lender news. Of course, there's always good news with Sandy Lender. She always has exciting stuff going on. So that is awesome. That is awesome. And, she's actually, it looks like she's going to be doing a BookTube video about Carol Preflatish's novel, Homecoming to Murder. Yeah, all kinds of stuff already bantered on in the chat room. So that's awesome. That's good. Everybody, positive vibes.
The Steve Martin, the old Saturday Night Live skit where he's like, we are wild and crazy guys. Yeah. Like, that's
well,
what's happening.
Creative
with,
people.
Like, the
you know
regional
how it goes.
Group right now. We're all wild and crazy guys.
Yeah, we're all kind of like, you know, have had cabin fever too long and we're being unleashed now.
Yeah.
So it's a dangerous recipe. good
it's
kind
be
of danger.
An interesting year.
No kidding. Yeah, it definitely is. So is there any other news that I have missed out there that you want to bring to everyone's attention or? Because I've just been just in the thick of all this convention stuff, so I have no life right now.
Not anything really updates. We're still in post-production for Nobody's Listening. Everyone can check out the progress at the website, nobodyslisteningmovie.com. There will be some updates coming up real soon, so check that website ever. There's some fun, exciting news coming down my pipeline. I will have copies in hand of my sequel, Falling Embers, at Imaginarium, and I will be launching that at the beginning of August.
Fantastic. Wow, and that is
that is
actually breaking news. That's a scoop. That's even news to me. And
scoop.
So that is awesome.
Scoop,
Well, I'm definitely getting a copy because I'm well aware of how good this book is. it's a gem, folks, and it is ready. It is ready.
As of right now, Rising Ash is still at the convention sale price, so go get it on Amazon and get caught up if you haven't read it yet.
Yes, and great characters and excellent writing. Yeah, totally encourage you to do this and get lots of copies. Give them out to your friends. Buy like bundles of them and hand them off.
Do that.
Yeah, recent guest Simon Kledke actually sent us a little gift box that had about 10 copies of his novel in it. And for us to give to folks that came over, at, you know, or that we interacted with. So we got it could be effective, folks. Yeah. So buy like bundles of RG's book and then go out and give them to people. And like that's a good thing. Authors would love that if everybody did that. Yeah, the book market would surge overnight.
That would be so cool.
I am looking forward after talking to Simon on the show here. I'm definitely looking forward to diving into his fantasy novel though, which unfortunately I'm probably going to have to wait till just after Imaginarium to read a little bit more. But it does look great. I'm pretty pumped about that. So. But yeah, it's just that time. It's the gauntlet run. It's why I look forward to the Sunday evening of Imaginarium. That's when I finally get to really just breathe that sigh and go to the Troll Pub in Louisville, which is our iconic site we go to at the end, which we do plan on doing this year, folks. So yeah, if you have been in on our massive Troll Pub excursion on the Sunday night of the Imaginarium weekend, we do plan on doing that again. And Kentucky is very much opened up, so we don't anticipate any problems with that, but we are going to, of course, check with them and see if there's any new rules, just in case. But, we don't anticipate any problems because Kentucky is doing good. The vibe is good. Finally seeing people smile again in public. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, my day job is dropping the mask mandate this week. So, and I know for a fact that they only do that if we're in a certain percentage rate of success now.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good thing, yeah.
Issues, thank God. So, get ready to rock and roll. But, we're coming up on the call-in time, so we might as well cover our awesome sponsors, one of whom is the amazing, always with good news, Sandy Lender, who, evidently gotten one on the three-day novel
Sandy
contest and is doing a media interview tomorrow for that. So, yes, Sandy Lender's celebration tonight. So we will go ahead and kick things off with one of her awesome newer spots, and then we will go over to the amazing Ren Garcia asking that question that we love to answer on the show, and then we'll run the little Imaginarium spot for you. But here we go, Sandy Lender. Okay, I'm back. I just checked that. I was thinking I was having audio problems on my side, but I wonder, if something's not acting up the system. It said it was playing, but I saw in the chat room that you guys didn't hear that. So we will see what's going on with the audio clips tonight. And don't worry, Sandy, we'll make it up to you if there's anything wrong with that. But let me play Ren's and see if that is working. Do y'all hear anything, guys? I don't hear.
No,
still not hear anything.
I didn't hear it on my
end. There is something wrong with BTR's interface. Yeah, because on my end, I've got my audio clips queued, and as I always do them every week, and they should play. But I will make that up to Ren and Sandy on that. Don't worry. I will get spots played, definitely, for author Sandy Lender and Ren Garcia of the League of Elders series. And, they are awesome, both awesome authors, and check them out for sure. We will definitely make sure I find new slots for both of those ads. So we'll play those for you guys. Don't know what the tech issue is, but as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, we've had surprises now and then on tech glitches, and I guess it's to be expected, when it's a live platform kind of thing. But the least you should be able to rely on is the pre-recorded audio spots. So I am definitely gonna raise some cane tomorrow with their tech people, because what's that? Go ahead.
No,
so I don't get too surly.
Rumor has it that Sandy Lender has the best books in the verse, so we have to.
Oh yes.
Figure that.
Oh yes.
And also that Ren's books are amazing. So I wanted to just share that information with everyone.
And having read both of them, I can vouch for that. They both are just outstanding. And Yeah, definitely. And also, kind of a bummer, y'all get to hear that cool new Imaginarium spot, too, because that is a neat ad. But, yeah, we will get to the bottom of this and raise some cane with the BTR folks here. But we'll make it up to you, Sandy, I promise. This is definitely not my fault. Yeah, not my fault. I promise. Everything is just as it always is on my end. But I am
it's
not too consumed with bourbon, I promise. And it looks like Amy McCorkle's just joined us in the chat room. Hello, Amy.
Yay.
And yeah, we got building audience. Yeah, this is the excitement is building here. And now we're hopefully going to get a message here. All right. Just looking for watching for the call from our guest tonight. So
the call.
Right now.
Ba-ba-da-ba.
No more tech. Yeah, no more tech issues, folks.
Right.
No more. Yeah, I just want to check to see if our guest tonight was having any type of trouble calling in. Once in a blue moon, that happens too. But I do not have any messages, so I hope that indicates it all is well there, and we're just waiting for the phone call. And
we can always chat with each other. Yeah, I'm telling you,
yes.
Zombie trivia and stuff like that if we need to.
Zombie trivia. Yeah.
Yes.
Tommy B. Smith tales, anything that we can come up with.
Yeah. We'll sing the James Bond theme song just for Amy McCorkle. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
I don't even know how it goes.
Well, she just had a birthday, so belated and happy birthday. I know you just had a birthday party there, Amy. So, yeah, we were stuck
Amy.
In the grind here. We could not get away because we're just overloaded right now.
Yeah.
We really are at the point where we need additional help. But it is what it is when you've built something up from the grassroots and you don't have a big coffers that some of those big nonprofits have and hugely sponsored events have. It's a different ball game. So it's there's a big news item. Sandy is getting the brakes fixed on her car. So, folks, that is the current scoop here on the Star Chamber show.
Amy just dropped some interesting information. She's possibly in communication with Michael Madsen. That's a name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Michael Madsen is awesome.
Yep.
And does a lot of independent films, too, which I've noticed.
Yes. A lot, that's an interesting conversation to have right there. It's just how many big name actors actually look for indie films. You just to kind of hone their craft and keep doing what they're doing.
No, most definitely.
Yeah.
And it's cool when they do, they are willing to come down, like I said, on their asking prices and stuff to do some scenes in indie films. So, and it lends a name to the project. It definitely bolsters that and helps boost the independence. And there are actors I noticed are doing more of that. Michael Perret's doing more of that. Of course, Michael Madsen. Back in when David Carradine was still with us, he did a lot of indie stuff. And you'll find some names that are willing to do indie stuff.
Oh yeah,
which
yeah.
I think is pretty awesome.
Well, we had a lot of fun partying with David Carradine. Your mom and David Carradine, and the whole. Do you remember that? Were you there for that?
Evening. Well, see, I was running the convention, doing my usual frazzled, being pulled in 20 directions mode, and then I hear all these just amazing stories of the David Carradine adventure with him playing piano in the lobby of the Hyatt Regency in Lexington and all kinds of stuff going on, and you guys hanging out with him up in the suite where it was kind of like a VIP lounge. That
there was this moment, because he this is my David Carradine story. Can I tell it real quick?
Oh, yes.
At the time, my day job was over at the Radisson. I worked over there. And so, at the convention, everybody wanted to go over to the Blue Martini and, have some drinks at the bar. And I couldn't because there's actually a policy that if you work there, you can't go and, hang out there off the clock. So I was like, well, crap, I can't go. So everybody went over there. And so I was just, like, over in the suite by myself. And so then once everything closed, everybody came back. And so, of course, everyone was kind of, like, in their cups, as they say. And so I'm sitting there, and David Carradine is sitting next to me, and I'm like, and this was, like, right before Kill Bill came out. So I'm, like, losing my mind. And he pointed at me. And so I pointed back at him. And he, like, reached out and grabbed my finger. And I said, don't break my finger, because, you know, this is like Cain, the grasshopper, you know, the, like, and I said, don't break my finger, and he goes, okay, and he lets go.
Wow.
And that's the story. Yeah, I know. It's like earth-shattering.
Yeah, I know my sister had some really interesting stories from that night. Yeah, I know she had some amazing stories from that night.
I think she was there, yeah. But yeah, no, we always had a lot of fun at the any convention run by a Zimmer is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, I know on my end it's usually quite a challenge, but I've gotten to experience those conventions where you're just kind of like, oh, everything's
right.
Going to be okay. It's like 500 things going on.
But it always does end up okay. I mean, of course, this is from the viewpoint of, you know, an attendee/panelist person. So, yeah, I have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. I'm just assuming y'all are back there just spinning plates and juggling chimpanzees or whatever it is that you do.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty close to that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
you pull it
wow.
off. Yeah. You always pull it off.
Hopefully. Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It is a lot for sure. Oh, I'm just trying to check and see. We got a message from Sarah on this, but I don't... trying to see if what's going on here.
Oh, Sarah.
We got some problems with the board tonight. So that would explain why the audio clips were messing up.
Oh.
So,
audio
yeah,
clip.
Not quite sure. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Going to see if.
Yep.
That's always an adventure when that happens. It's sort of like I'm on the fly usually when that happens.
Yeah.
So, let's
well,
see here.
I have a trivia question for the people in the chat room. While you're doing that, I will throw out some trivia for the people in the chat room.
All right. You
does
can see the chat room. Good.
Does anybody know? Yeah. Does anybody know what was considered the very, very first Tale of the Undead, so to speak. The
Tale
very,
the
very
undead.
First one. Tale of the Undead. Some people call it a zombie story. There is some debate on whether or not it's a zombie story or not. But it's one of the first, like, reanimated undead stories. So that's my trivia. If anybody knows, you win a... thoughts and prayers from me. Specifically to you. Directly. Like, that's a prize right there. Sandy Linder says, The Raising of Lazarus. I'm not familiar with that story. Oh, wait, you mean the one from the Bible, the actual raising of Lazarus. Okay, well played. No, that's not what I was thinking about. See, I was thinking fiction, like fiction, but very well played. Yeah, no, yeah, I got you in the Bible. I was like, The Raising of Lazarus, what is that, like a new science fiction story that I don't know about? Like, I don't know, it's like the Lazarus spaceship or something like that. But no, she's talking about the actual Bible.
Yes. Nice.
That's a good one. Very well played, Sandy. But no, that's not what I was thinking about. In the fiction/science fiction genre world is more what I was thinking about. I'll give you all a hint. It's written by a woman.
Hmm.
Ba-ba-da-ba. Trying to think, what else? It's written by a woman. The story of an undead. Some say zombie, some say not a zombie. It's a great debate. Let's see. Oh, Tommy got it. Tommy said, gave the answer, the correct answer. Frankenstein. Yeah, see, exactly. He says, I'm not sure I think of it as a zombie tale, and I don't really think that either. But a lot of people refer to it as, like, the first zombie story. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, technically, Frankenstein is undead and was reanimated. So is he a zombie? I don't know. What do you guys think in the chat room? Let's see. What else?
Go ahead with another one there. We're working on
Am
it.
Am I killing
trying
time
to figure out what
well
is...
enough? Okay.
No, well, yes, we're doing good. Just trying to figure out what the heck the deal is here.
Yeah. Okay, so Tommy says, I do consider it to be not only one of the greatest horror stories of all time, but one of the greatest tales ever told. Same, Tommy, same. Yes. And then Clayton says, but it's pronounced Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Which is a classic reference. See, that's the question. Sandy says, if he was pieces of people stitched together and reanimated, does that count as zombieism? And that is also an excellent question, because it all goes back to what is a zombie? You know, what
mm-hmm.
defines as, is it just undead, or is it? See, I personally think Frankenstein's monster is a unique, separate thing than a zombie. So yeah, I mean it's worthy of debate, I suppose. And the other question is the Egyptian mummy, like would that count as a zombie kind of situation, or is that more individualistic?
I would say
and therefore
so.
It's, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's something different, because the whole thing about zombies is there's hordes and hordes of them, and, you know, they take over and stomp on things, and, yeah. But anyway, that's all the trivia I have for now. See, it's because the people in the chat room are being very talkative and reactive, but I can't hear them, so I'm having to, like, say it all, because we're on a an audio format, so this
right.
is an interesting experience for me. I'm winging it.
No, that's probably good. That's probably good that we're on
yeah.
an audio format, so you can't see the mayhem that
right?
ensues.
It's all good.
As we work through this fun stuff.
Let's see. Oh, I am currently reading... Okay, so let's see. Clayton has a question. Would zombies be characterized as soulless? Seems to be a requirement. I think that is definitely an element to it, Clayton, because it is the physical versus, you know, you get into, like, the physical being of what's left after
mm-hmm.
someone dies, and all you have left is just walking around creature, dead body thing.
Mm-hmm.
This took a turn. Oh, I think Sarah is actually in the chat room. She says, I'm here, y'all. Technical difficulties are keeping
yeah.
us all apart. And she does a little sad
yep,
face.
The
so
board
hello,
locked
Sarah.
Is the problem. Yeah, so just
oh,
so y'all know,
no.
the board itself locked, and I am trying to figure out how to get this board unlocked. And that's why the ads, by the way, did not play correctly.
Yeah.
So that is something that
Have
is
you
not
tried
on my
it off
end.
And turning back on again.
That's what I'm about to do is a full reboot
okay.
here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the only thing I think I can do is a full reboot, but I'm not going to,
okay.
You know, affect the actual show
yeah.
itself. Yeah, because
okay,
we have a connection. We have the chat room is working.
Yet?
That's what I'm going to make
okay.
sure doesn't happen. So I got to do this really carefully.
Yeah.
So bear with me, folks, for just a couple more minutes. But we can report on whatever's happening there in the chat room. At least that's encouraging.
Definitely. Yeah. So we got Sarah in the house. And if you can hear me, Sarah, I don't know what that is, Clayton. But I want you to tell, once you get on the air, I want you to tell the story about how you're a tertiary relic, because that's an amazing story. Now, Clayton,
yes.
I can do a Freddie Mercury impression, if that counts. I don't know if that counts or not.
Freddie Mercury impression. Now, that's impressive.
Not
I wish Holly was here to see that.
No one can do a good Freddie Mercury impression. There is only one.
That would be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That would definitely be impressive.
Oh, great. Now people are asking for it. No, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can be, okay. All right. They leave me to picking out the clothes and writing the hits. There, that's my Freddie Mercury impression. Y'all didn't think I was going to actually sing, did you? No.
Well, that's not going to happen
today, Tommy. I have not had enough beverages for that to happen. We'll see. We'll break out the Smule at Imaginarium and see if we maybe pull off some karaoke. Today, that's not going to be happening.
Not today.
Not today. No. I can quote some Highlander. That's close to that, isn't it? Because he sings.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury sings for that. Yeah, I could quote some of that.
Very good.
There can be only one. There we go.
Christopher Lambert and Sean Connery in the first one. Of course, the great Clancy Brown as Kurgan, which is a great villain.
Epic.
In that one.
Absolutely epic. Yes. What he's in the show where he plays a regular guy. What is he in? I can't think of it. He plays like some police sergeant or something like that. And
he's been
a regular
guy,
and all I can think of is Kurgan. Every time I see him, I'm like, no.
Well, never forget, played Sergeant Zim in Starship Troopers. And yes,
okay,
as in my name, Z-I-M, Sergeant Zim. He's a big hero in the Starship Troopers movie, which I like.
That's
that,
amazing.
Sergeant Zim. Yeah, that was my nickname for years in baseball and stuff like that. I always got called that. Yeah,
so
my name got
Carol
truncated by folks.
Says that Henry Cavill is going to be the star of the new Highlander movie. I would pay actual cash money to see that, because that would be amazing. Henry Cavill, he kind of is a chameleon, honestly. I mean, he went from Clark Kent, Superman, to The Witcher. I was like, this is the same guy? Wow. You know? And then he's like, in real life, he's this total, like, goob type. I mean, he's adorable. Don't get me wrong. I say that in the highest respect. But, yeah, he's kind of a surprise chameleon. Every time I see him, I'm like, hey, Henry Cavill, look at him go. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's... top-notch actors. I love the chameleon types, too. I mean, I always use Gary Oldman as a great example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's always the type of actors that I enjoy. Sometimes you don't even recognize that they're in the movie until you're a little bit into it. And you're like, oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome.
Well, anytime I see freaking Donnie Wahlberg, he's a chameleon. Like, I did not know he was in Sixth Sense until I saw his name in the credits. I did not know he was in Dreamcatcher, and he's a main character in that movie. He is a chameleon. And then there are times when he plays, like, actual Donnie Wahlberg, you know, and he's like, me, 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 I'm Donnie Wahlberg, I'm from Boston, bleh, you know. And he's one of those surprise chameleons, too.
Yeah.
That's how he talks.
No, absolutely.
Exactly, just like that. and here's a little bit of information. Sarah Marion says she's writing a character specifically with Clancy Brown in mind. which I'm sold. I want to read it. That sounds amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, God, we need to get this thing unblocked here.
Nah. We have the sads.
No, we're working on it. We are working on it actively as I speak here.
So working on
it. It will be the one night we all have Daniel on with us.
Right.
Of course.
Well, here's a I'm about to set the chat room on fire. Here's a little known fact about Henry Cavill. He was the inspiration for the character of Edward Cullen in the Twilight books. And originally, Stephanie Meyer wanted to cast him as the part of Edward Cullen, but by the time they got into production for the movies, he had aged out. But teenage Henry Cavill is the original inspiration for Edward Cullen from the Twilight series.
Wow.
Yep.
That is cool.
True story. Yep. And it cracks me up because everyone's like, me. And Carol knew it. So, haha.
That's awesome. Hold on.
Say you knocked your bourbon up. Oh.
No, I did not. No, it literally locked, the board locked. And I even rebooted the entire system and everything, and it wasn't working. But hold on here. I hope I can make this happen. And Sarah, stand by. I just found a back way to do this. But if you I'm gonna maybe you were
did
on.
You hear me?
But I hold that thought. I have to give you my grand announcement, folks. About to join the Star Chamber show tonight is the amazing author, Maverick, small press publisher, and archaeologist, the one, the only, Sarah Marion. Welcome to the Star Chamber show.
Yay!
After an odyssey.
Thank you for that lovely introduction.
I didn't want to cheat you out of a good intro, but yeah, I had to come to do a backdoor thing to get this around the board just to get your phone line on, and I don't have the chat room myself, so RG, just keep an eye on things in there. It's good to have you on the show. I'm so sorry about the I knew something was wrong when we couldn't play
it. It's you.
We couldn't play the radio ads, and I was like, why? The radio ads wouldn't come on, and I was like, oh, God, okay. So I thought there was just a glitch with that. And then all of a sudden you said you sent me the note and said that you were in the – could hear us but didn't have a mic or anything. So I was like, uh-oh. I was like, something is going on with this. And then, yep, the whole board was evidently locked. But here you are.
Oh, no.
So.
Good times.
So now poor RG has been dying to know the story of the tertiary relic. We want to talk about your fiction, your nonfiction, your publishing adventures in the great, lucrative, lavish book market of today. And I mean, just the usual stuff.
all that normal stuff that I do.
All that normal stuff. So, first of all, tell folks a little bit about the kind of writing that you do, because we'll be focusing on the book stuff, and then we'll, definitely segue into some good archaeology tales.
Okay. Well, I write cross-genre fiction mostly. I have one book already published that's urban fantasy, where the twist is that the city that it takes place in is the capital city of the underworld, Hades. And then, let's see, I also have three short stories that are available on Kindle through Amazon for 99 cents each. Those are also cross-genre in one case. That's the crossover between steampunk and cyberpunk set in post-apocalyptic Chicago. No zombies, not that kind of apocalypse.
The other kind of apocalypse.
The kind that involves climate change and global economic disaster. So
the scary, the actual scary kind. I gotcha.
Well, yeah, except that the storyline is pretty goofy. It's about an opiate sim
like
addicted
it.
Cocktail waitress and her psychotic android butler.
Oh, nice.
And their,
I love
their
it.
Misadventures. And then I've also got a literary fiction short story up there too, and then there's another that's kind of a just straight fantasy, but I have like a 10,000 year timeline for the series that it's part of, so
nice.
So there's kind of a full gamut of combination stories that are not just strictly fantasy. I'm working on a novella that's part of that series right now that's sort of a medical thriller set in the fantasy world.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's the kind of weird stuff I do.
Yeah.
But I'm actually project hopping a lot lately. I've got about 5 projects that I'm currently working on, just switching between which one I feel like at a given moment. And we'll see how that works.
Same.
Well, that's not a bad approach to, like I said,
that's
for some
awesome.
Writers, that's actually a very good approach to keep the flow going and avoid writer's block. Yeah, it works for, you know, it does work for some authors. And, yeah, to do that, have more than one project going at the same time and
mm-hmm.
and go with, you know, where the flow is going. That's it's a good approach. But and also that means that you got a lot on the burners here. So we can look forward to lots of new releases and short stories and everything. So. That's
uh-huh.
good.
Well, I hope so.
So did you get a lot of time? Because I think this is the first time we've got to talk to you on the air, at least, since the joyous year that was 2020. Did you get a lot of writing done over this weird year? And how were things for you creatively?
I got almost nothing done during the past year. I was working a little at the beginning of the shutdown, and at first I kind of thought, I'm going to be working from home mostly, and I'm going to have plenty of time, and it's going to be a great creative year. And then life happened, one thing after another. Lots of life changes. Some of them painful, some of them for the better, some of them painful and for the better, and here we are. So I finally have started to feel up to writing again here in the past couple of months, and couldn't really decide what project I wanted to settle back into, so I started doing the hop-around approach, which is what I've always traditionally done.
Mm-hmm.
Until I started working on Erica Flynn, the life and death, but mostly the death of Erica Flynn, which is my published novel. Before I wrote that, I had always project hopped, and when I started on that, I just kind of went with it until it was done. But I think it's time to go back to project hopping again.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's good. It keeps it fresh and keeps it rolling. And I mean, even when I'm working within a single novel, I will hop between different sections just to keep the rhythm going. So it's a kind of a variant of that approach, I guess, but it works beautifully as far as, you don't get bogged down and just hit a brick wall and have one of those nights where you stare at the screen and have absolutely no words. You know, it definitely helps avoid that. And that's the key thing, I think. But it sounds like you're on a roll now, and that's good. And I guess, you know, like I said, this year, everybody's getting more active and I don't know what the demands are with the press side of things right now with Per Bastet, but hopefully it means that, new spring shoots are about to flower and bring good things to you, creatively and with the press, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too. Thank you. I'm sure Imaginarium will fire me up. It always does every year, so...
The Per Bastet, that legendary, I'm still think back to that 2019 room party food spread that you had 2019 Imaginarium.
I was parked in that room. I was, Yeah, it was shameful. Well, it was absolutely shameful how I was hitting up that buffet.
Oh, I know. It
was
unbelievable.
Well, I just changed our reservation. So instead of having one room, we're going to have two adjoining rooms so that we'll have room
oh,
for the
no.
Here.
Just put in
yeah,
like
no,
a
I
rotating
felt like I was...
sidewalk.
Yeah.
Sidewalk.
That would be
one
awesome.
One of those moving sidewalks. We'll just all be there.
Well, you made us feel like we were at like a major press thing in New York City with the caliber of the food that you had there. I mean, it felt Holly uses the word bougie. If that makes sense. Yeah, it felt very bougie. You know, we had all the fancy stuff and gourmet olives, even not even just the regular olives. You had gourmet olives. I mean, it was just awesome.
You gotta go all out for olives. Yeah. I am an olive addict. If I could live on olive cheese and fruit, I would totally
Same.
Do it.
And the artichoke, I think if I had a spoon and the artichoke dip, like I would have just that would have been my night right there. It's just you know, but I really tried to do something for everyone else, but. Yeah, it was, oh, my goodness. Like, I'm getting hungry.
Well, my partners and I are all three kind of foodies, so when you get the three of us together, Provost can whip out a mean buffet.
I'm here for it.
Well, Sarah's probably like, wondering, why is Steven just, like, planted near the olive tray there? Why is he standing over there? But yeah, cause that's why I was kind of rooted to that spot when I came by to visit. And yeah, there's definitely a reason, but it was a blast. And I know, I heard nothing but just lovely comments and I was already hyped on it for 2020. Of course that got delayed. So yeah, now we're even twice as eager for the 2021 version. So it's going to be exciting.
I hope you and Holly will have time to hang out with us this year too.
Oh, yeah.
At that party.
Well, we'll come by. We will probably definitely need a drink, that's for sure, by nighttime. But, yeah, we'll definitely stop by and visit and hang out. But, yeah, that's definitely one of the places to visit, folks, if you are there. And in the new facility, it's just so easy. I mean, it's – yeah, because everything is vertical. It's right – the bottom level of the entire hotel is the convention, and then everything's just above it. So this year it's actually very – it's going to be very easy to navigate, I think, and it's going to be a lot. And then the fact that it's just a such a nicer facility – which I know you're going to be happy about, Sarah. finally got the kind of environment we I think this event deserves for what it is, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely something you can be very happy with. But you mentioned your partners in crime, so to speak. Looking forward to seeing them too. And, how is the press going right now? What is the release schedule, how are you kind of getting back into things after 2020? What's the scoop on the press right now?
Well, we're a little backed up right now with releases, but things are easing up on all this. It was kind of a rough year for all three of us, myself, Marion Allen, and T. Lee Harris. All of us are authors and also publishers. And we all had some personal things happen this year, and it's been tough to keep up with releases. We did have two new releases this year. I think both from Indianapolis authors, Michael Dabney and Jay Burroughs. And
awesome.
So we had those two new releases, and then we are we've got several on the back burner that I think we're going to start getting churned out. We're getting a better system in place for getting our covers done in a more efficient manner, and of course that's T. Lee Harris's department. But I think we're on track to start releasing things in a more timely fashion now, which is exciting. We're looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yes, we're looking forward to some great releases, and hopefully Teely's got some more Tales with Cats looming and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, that's hit the back burner, but
That was a popular one for your press, some of her stuff in that area. With the, yeah.
And there's definitely another one in the works. So.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
And looking forward to, seeing what I call the Teeley effect. You know, when she's at a panel, it's like standing room only. You know, people just flock in. It's awesome.
Nice.
But the
yeah.
Teeley effect.
She's awesome.
As we call it. And. Yeah, she is just so much fun, and I've missed her terribly, you know, and you and Marion, over this past year. It's just been like a big gulf, it seems, between, you know, us and all, you know, Holly and I and everybody, because we like to see people face-to-face, and, you know, we and see, when things like that happen, I get introduced to good Japanese whiskeys that taste just like good scotches, you know, when I get to see people face-to-face. Yeah, because I know you and you, Teeley, and Marion had nothing to do with that, but yeah.
No, nothing at all.
Oh, I haven't heard this story yet.
Did we introduce you to dragon's milk, too?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That as well. But good stuff. No, it's we've missed you, so it's exciting to get rolling. But I'm glad your fiction is getting back to a good place, and I hope that, you know, like I said, with the so Cal was asking about the release schedule, that I'm hoping that means some of your stuff is in the immediate pipeline for later this year. Because
sadly,
see some stuff. Not yet.
Gotta finish some stuff to get it out.
Finish
it. Yeah. But yeah, no, I do have five things in the works. So one of those is a novella that's a continuation of it's basically an expansion of the short story that I was talking about earlier, and with the steampunk cyberpunk crossover.
Oh,
I'm working
cool.
on that.
Nice.
And I'm working on a historical fiction based on some people that I've researched for an archaeology project that I was involved in. And that'll be a historic fiction mystery, which I've never done mystery before, so but I love historical fiction mysteries, so I'm trying to dip my toe into that. I've got that medical thriller fantasy. And then both of the follow-up novels to Erica Flynn, so I'm working on 2 and 3 at the same time.
So
sorry,
you're basically Indiana Jones at this point.
No, I'm not Indiana
Jones. Not at all. Okay.
I'm not that cool. I don't have a revolver or a bullwhip.
Well,
I do have a fedora, but
you could pull it off. I mean, if you had that. And the hat and everything, that'd be hot.
Well, you'll have to wait and see my outfit for this year's Imaginarium.
Okay.
Nice.
I'll look forward to it.
It's not Indiana Jones, but it's a little twist.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair enough. No, you're cooler than Indiana. I'd say you're cooler than Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Well, I don't
definitely.
Blow up the temples that I go.
Well, there's that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible when we lose historical sites to explosions, so I'm glad you
exactly.
don't do that.
I mean, I do love Indiana Jones. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing Indiana Jones. But,
no, of course not. Well,
Indiana Jones has generated more public interest in my career than probably any real archaeologist ever has. So thanks to him for that.
Well, you know, mystery, you're talking about mystery, but that's a kind of a natural thing, I think, for you being an archaeologist, because the mysteries and unfolding mysteries is definitely at the core of the archaeology world. And it's we had a UK-based archaeologist on in toward the end of 2020, Benjamin Cross. So, yeah, definitely we talked a little bit about some of the correlations there, you know, with his thriller side of things, but mystery would definitely lend itself well to your, you know, chosen field, I would say, as far as the writing and conceptions and things like that.
There's definitely a detective work aspect to it, especially when you're doing archival research for historic archaeology, which is what sparked the idea for this book. So But that one is like, that one's cool. The little bitty baby. I have like maybe a chapter of that one. The other ones I'm much further along in.
Yeah. That's I look forward to that. That's exciting.
Definitely
I like
do.
That kind
and
stuff.
Now, are you able to draw a lot out of your work in archaeology into your fiction? I don't think I've ever asked you that online or on air. But do you draw a lot from your work during the day into your fiction? And if so, then you know, if you could comment on that just a little bit.
I haven't until recently. I didn't actually, I hadn't done any archaeology when I wrote my first book, and I actually went back to school after I had finished it to get my degree so that I could do archaeology. So no archaeology played any part in that. And then school kind of, I was very focused on school. I didn't really have time to write with the kind of class load that I was taking. And plus I was working 3 jobs while I was in school. Mm. So that was the first time in my life I'd ever really put my writing aside for anything, for any length of time. And it's been kind of bumpy getting back into it the way that, you know, just as a habit, as like, I have to do this daily or I'm going to go nuts. The way that I was before I put it aside for 4 years of undergrad. So I'm kind of trying to get just that part back, just getting into the habit of doing the work again. And I would say that there are a lot of things that I'm interested in writing that have some basis in archaeology or that I'm drawing on from anthropology, which is the umbrella discipline that archaeology falls under. Anthropology is kind of a natural thing for me. You know, if you write anything that's fantasy or science fiction or anything that's otherworldly at all, you're world building, you're coming up with cultures and you're coming up with ways of looking at the world differently and approaching survival differently in coming up with that world building process. So anthropology kind of just made sense to me from that, being curious about what are other cultures like, how do other people deal with these or those environmental factors in their world and their language and the way they communicate and the way they've structured their society and what bearing does ecology have on that. And just all of those things really interested me naturally, so it makes sense that I would be interested in both.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And anytime you are drawing off of like something like that, you have a passion for your field and you enjoy your work. It's not just a paycheck for you. It's something that you're very much into, and you can draw off that expertise and the modes of thinking and philosophy behind it. I mean, yeah, it just makes the writing, I think, you know, really organic and brings a really nice authenticity to it.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting. You know, definitely, you know, can't wait to see what Sarah brings out now, you know, now you're delving, you know, some more into that, for sure. But I know that RG has been dying to ask you about a certain thing here. So you go for it.
Well,
this is your time.
Okay. So you told this story, and I would love it if you would share it with everyone, about how you, if you are still a tertiary relic, I would love it if you would share that story, if you're comfortable with that. I don't know,
Okay, well, before I tell this story, I hope that this is not going to be disrespectful to anybody, because I don't mean it
in that
way at all. but no, I did help with an analysis of some saints' bones, which were relics at a church, and that was one of the projects that I helped out with when I was in undergrad, because I volunteered and then worked at the archaeology lab on campus. And so we were asked to analyze the bones of two saints who were dated to about 300 AD, I believe. I'm remembering the date correctly. Basically just to make sure that they were complete skeleton, you know, that there weren't any extra bones of anybody else because they had been kept in catacombs for part of their part of the time that they had, since they had died, and also to make sure that they were around the ages and that they were the same sex as they were supposed to be and all that. Well, they were. But one of the things about working on saints' bones is, so the bone is a primary relic, and because it's the bone of a saint. Anything that's a secondary relic. So we weren't allowed to touch them with our bare hands because that's disrespectful in the Catholic Church to, you know, touch the bone of a saint. And, you know, I guess especially for non-religious purposes. So we wore gloves to touch the bone. Now, I don't know why the gloves don't count as secondary relics. And anything that touches something that has touched the bone of a saint is a tertiary relic. But for some reason, the gloves are exempt. I don't know. I don't understand. But there's that.
Yeah. No, I just think that's the coolest story.
Here's the bad part. So the bad part is there was a bag of part of one of the saints had been burned.
Mm.
And it was in a little velvet bag. And I opened the little velvet bag, not knowing that it was full of human remains. And it made me sneeze.
Oh, no!
Which means that I inhaled some of the particles of bone.
Oh, no!
So, I
guess
I'm
might even be a secondary relic.
I might be a secondary relic, but
Are you? Are you a miracle? Are you a miracle worker now? Can you work miracle? Is that what you're saying?
I can't. If I could work miracles, I would have 10,000 published books by now.
just to clarify, I mean no disrespect at all to anyone practicing or anything at all. I think it's amazing.
It's interesting.
The practice of working on bones of any sort that are from 300 AD is just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And much less that they're, like, sainted. But, I mean, that's just the coolest thing.
Yeah, it was a very cool project to get to be a part of. And thank you, University of Louisville, for providing that opportunity.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, the Catholic Church, I mean, yes, has a lot of relics, artifacts, a lot of historical sites, a lot of things that, they do, a lot of, very rigorous archaeological type work. And, that's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always kind of... I like these kind of stories. As a child, I was an altar boy. So yes, this is interesting for me to hear. So I know all about the relics and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I grew up
so
Catholic too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm the Protestant fundy, so I don't know as much about it as you guys do.
No, that's fascinating. I'm glad you shared that story because actually I know that we know each other a while, but I actually had not heard that one yet. So I'm glad RG brought that up here.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, she
maybe you'll have
that
to work
story Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, RG.
No, just that you told that story to us at the 2019 room party, the Per Best at Room party. So I'm sitting there, like, stuffing my face with olives and artichoke dip, and she's telling this amazing story about, human bones and saints, and I was like, yeah, this is great.
It was
a lot of fun.
Now you've got to come up with some kind of T-shirt design now that's kind of ties in with you, and then has something like I'm the tertiary relic or something, something along those lines.
Amazing.
That is just awesome. But I was thinking when you said, you sneeze like you. I was thinking, like you said, you're going to sneeze, like, you know, everything just kind of went poof up into the air like a big cloud of dust, and there it was. Like a Monty Python-esque
there.
Kind of moment. Yeah, Monty Python-esque type of moment, something like that. But that's too funny. But, yeah, that's a good story. Well, I'm sure you got lots of adventures because, yeah, being out in the field, I'm sure it's very unpredictable.
It or is
doing all the work that you do. And I know that you've shared with me before, but, yeah, as far as, like, yeah, everybody might think that you're all just a bunch of, very calm, placid academics all the time, you know, somberly going over stuff. But the rumor has it that you archaeologists engage in colorful language for once in a while on site and digging.
Oh yeah, and definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, the field is unpredictable.
Yeah, the fun side of the archaeology world. Yes, the.
I just totally see that because it's the ones that you think are quiet. They're the ones that really know how to throw down. So yeah, that track.
Like Indiana Jones said, if you want to be an archaeologist, you got to get out of the library.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be that quiet academic all the time.
Excellent point. Where he like swung across a vine or whatever and like did this whole like giant stunt thing and the guy said, "What do you do again?" He said, "I'm a professor."
That's awesome. Well, I know Holly was most proud of all the endorsements that she got for her bug guard. The one that she's always been the most, I think, proud of is when Sarah told her that it had worked with the archaeologists, you know, that was her natural bug guard. And that was when Holly was like, yes, I've made it. The archaeologists approve of me. Yeah, so that was a big deal.
I need to get some spray bottles of that stuff.
Oh, she's ready. Yeah, she's been... getting restocked on all of her essential oils and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure she could cook up a special batch for you. Don't worry. With her recipe that's battle-tested and tweaked and adjusted over about 20 years in an Amish community. So that was very refined before it even got to you. So, but I know that, Bug Guard is helpful on those hot summer days out in the dig sites. So.
We used that on set when we were filming the mosquito scene is what I called it.
That's what we'll have to do next is a film project that has Sarah make an appearance as an archaeologist. That'd be as a cameo or something like that. That would be awesome.
Figure it out. Yeah.
I do think archaeologists would make great, like, zombie fighters because, you know, we sharpen our shovels and we get really mad at stuff that bites us in the field. So, and we're good at orienting ourselves landscape we're in. We're already good teams with each other. So, I mean, just saying.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
And
might have to collab on something, Sarah.
Very cool.
All right.
It started here.
I love this synergy. It always happens on the Star Chamber show. Yeah, new things always kind of come out of this place. But but as far as I know you mentioned Imaginarium. Of course, we talked about that a bit. Great to be doing a live event again. But I believe you've got some other stuff on the calendar because it's in. You know, and thank you again for being supportive of the show and the convention. But in your spot, I think you have. I believe is it Inca Junction that you're doing this year in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
are you all doing that one? And then there's some more. So, tell us about what's on the horizon as far as the live as you start getting back to live stuff.
The things that we've definitely nailed down are In Conjunction, which is in Indianapolis. It's just a week before Imaginarium, so that's going to be an interesting back-to-back weekend for us. but we've been going to In Conjunction for several years now as well, and it's always been a blast. We've always had a really good time there too, and the folks that run it are very nice, very great. So I'm looking forward to going to that one again. And we, of course, will be at Imaginarium. That's the second weekend in July. And then in October, we're going to go to Prime Crime in Indianapolis, which used to be Magna Cum Murder. And they...
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what happened with the name change or anything. I know there was a funding issue for Magna, but I believe Prime Crime is basically a resurrected version of Magna. Of course, Marian Allen and T. Lee Harris have gone to that one for years. My first year going to it was in 2019, and I was really looking forward to going back in 2020. And of course, you know how everything went in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited to be going back to that one.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, so that's you've got some... At least you're going to be it sounds like it's going to be a little flurry of events for you. They're all kind of packed together there.
Yeah.
So that you're definitely jumping into the deep end of the pool after a year of us all being kind of isolated. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back at it. But hopefully your schedule will fill up again so you start seeing you all around here. And I know I want to get my schedule, start putting a few things on the horizon too. I just get... You know how it gets when you get on projects, you get bogged in tunnel vision. So right now it's just, you know, I just get up every day thinking of our press, Imaginarium, my writing. Rinse, repeat, do again.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like my life right now. But but I do hope to get out to a few more things too. But that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that, yeah, you've got some stuff set. Yeah, those are all great events. I did not know about the name change. I know it's always a struggle to put on events. Believe me, I understand that. So I, you know, imagine, if they were having some stuff and had to take over a little bit, that makes sense. But yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad they're continuing under a new name. That's good news.
Yeah, it's a great convention. Very, very classy and very nice.
Yeah, I enjoy In Conjunction. I'd gone for several years, but the problem was every time I'd go, it'd mess with my birthday a little bit because my birthday is the 2nd of July. And so I just got to the point where that was kind of like my one time a year just to, you know, so to speak, let my hair down and relax. And it's kind of a little bit, we have a traditional cookout here and whatnot. But so I'd gone to a few of the In Conjunctions, and I do hope to figure out a way to get back to one, but it always falls on that July 4th area. So just depending on the date, that's what makes it tough on my end, but I hope they have a really good one. I think people are eager to do live events again. So, you know, I've got my fingers crossed that they'll do very well because I do like In Conjunction quite a bit. A lot of good people participate, and I miss being there actually. But it's again, if you'd ever attended one of my birthdays, you hear it's legendary. So I've got to
let myself
relax.
Zimmerfest.
Bring the party to the convention, man.
Yeah,
I could do that as well.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to throw down.
this year everything falls a week before Imaginarium, so I probably do need the R&R as we had a week ahead. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But so what will you be doing at Imaginarium? Have you gotten stuff back from Holly yet? Well, I know you guys always have booths in the expo hall and things like that, but are you going to be I know panels and stuff are always you can always catch it, but do you have your schedule back yet from Holly, or is that still being worked on?
Yes. Let me pull it up actually. Cuz I am really bad at remembering lists of things. I know I'm going to be doing my my workshop. So there'll be that.
Yes. Yes, I heard. Yeah, Holly said you have a really good one.
Tell us about your workshop.
My workshop will be crafting cross genre. This will be the third year I've done it, but only the second year I've done it in person. So I did the first year that I did it was 2019, and it was the first workshop I'd ever run. So I was a little nervous about running a workshop.
Right.
But it went really well. Everybody had a, you know, at least everybody told me they had a good time. Maybe they were just being nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we, so I do a little sort of informal talk about, you know, cross-genre and what it, I don't really get into marketing cross-genre too much. That's for another workshop or panel. This is more about crafting and coming up with ideas and process and, you know, do you sit down and decide, well, I'm going to write a cross-genre piece, or do you have this story that just happens to need pieces of different mm-hmm. genres? And so we sort of talked about that a little bit, and there's a lot of back and forth, which I didn't have in the virtual panel, so that was a little hard for me because that's kind of my style with the workshop. But then we did an exercise where I gave people random swapped up like elements, so you would get two genres and then two random elements for your story, and you were supposed to come up with a back blurb for the book that was
nice.
You know, your idea for how you were going to do that. And everybody came up with these great ideas. It was so much fun just like hearing people's ideas and how they had like managed to work things together. And everybody who came really liked the exercise. So I hope I'm going to be able to do that again. That was hard to do on the virtual.
That sounds like
platform.
Fun.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'll be doing that again. And then I'm also on the panel, Sir, May I Have Another, which I believe is historical fiction writing. I hope it's not erotica.
No, knowing Holly, it's historical.
You know.
I'm sure it's historical.
I was like, wait a minute. So I'm pretty sure that's historical fiction. Then I'm on character creation, which is awesome because that's one of my favorite elements of writing. I've got my workshop on Saturday, and I'm on the virtual panel for cross-genre narrative. So Saturday for me is going to be all about the cross-genre, and Sunday I'm on the virtual world-building panel. And I'm kind of curious, Stephen, are those virtual panels, are those going to be before a live audience but also streamed, or is it a totally separate panel?
Unless
like, are we going
to
be?
No, some of them are, participants that are at the in-person event will probably have to go back to their hotel rooms and log in or find a quiet spot to log in and do their virtual panels because many of them are dedicated virtual. The only ones that mm-hmm. are definitely streamed are specifically in the description. You know, there will be a mm-hmm. specific mention that they are streamed. There are a few, but the idea was to make sure that, you know, the virtual offering was very dedicated as well, and because we don't have the size of coverage
mm-hmm.
just to replicate the in-person event in a digital format yet. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's probably
okay.
Probably a dedicated panel, unless mentioned specifically in the description.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's going to be streamed, but
really
yeah, but I am excited because Excel Events has done a lot since our first time with them, and they've upgraded a lot of things. The video, audio, everything has been advanced, and they definitely listened to lots of stuff, feedback we gave them, and addressed it. So yeah, we're expecting the platform to work really well this year with the virtual side.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely excited about that. You know, not that I was mostly happy with it last year, but yeah, there were
mm-hmm.
a few areas, a few times that we ran into some glitches, but this year I think it's going to go really, really smoothly because they've done a lot of work, and it's definitely a lot
yeah.
of new bells and whistles they've added that we've had
yeah.
to come
I really
aware
liked
of and,
the layout last year of the website
yeah.
and everything. Just from a user's perspective, I thought it was really user-friendly and easy to access and navigate.
Yeah. That's improved. Yeah, they've added more,
yeah.
and their video and audio tech is a whole step up. So, I mean, I think it's going to go really
mm-hmm.
well. But, you know, it's like, hey, I expect our platform to work well for the Star Chamber show, and then they'll sort the board freezes. So, yeah, you just
right.
never know.
That's
why I have to stay calm and be a sleuth and figure out tricks to make sure that Sarah could get on the show tonight, you know, but I did, thankfully. So,
well, thank you for that.
yeah. Like, oh God. But yeah, it's a good platform, and we essentially we've doubled the content, and I know that's sounds like a lot. It is a lot, but yeah, it's great because we're actually largely we're offering twice the content this year. I mean, there's a few things that overlap a little bit because we do have a few things that are streaming that are live at the in-person event. But for the most part, they are dedicated sessions. So, I mean, it is a true doubling of content, which is pretty massive for us. And then to allow people to, like I said, twice the content and two ways to participate. So I think that gives folks flexibility and those that have – you know, still some health concerns and things like that, you know, they have an option to be able to access the content, which is, I think, good, you know, but like RG said in the beginning, it's going to be good to see folks face to face. I'm there. I'm ready.
Yeah. I'm same here.
Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, we've gone. Just so you know, Sarah, we are going over a little bit beyond our normal stop time because I didn't want to short you on your visit with us. So, you know, we'll probably go just a few more minutes just to, cause I want you to get a full visit in with us because I was very excited that you're joining us this week. That's it's always good to hear from you. And I know that we had several people just get really excited that you're on the show tonight. So we probably drove a few people crazy with our delay.
Early.
No, I feel very honored. I'm sure folks have gotten mad at their computers enough to know that there are tech things that happen that are way beyond our control sometimes. But hopefully they'll be kind hearted and I won't have my house toilet paper tomorrow for having you come on later. You know? Hopefully not.
That's some
the cats
right
will
there.
Alert me.
I don't know if I have any fans that are that dedicated.
Oh, I have good news for you, Sarah. We did find out that the hotel, I think it's like a $25 deposit or something like that, but they do allow so that you can bring a pet to the room. Yeah, I think it's just a small deposit fee. So we are planning to bring the Tux twins, as I call them, Victoria and Albert, so that you can meet them in person at Imaginarium.
Oh, that's great. They look so cute. You're posting them.
And if they get free, you're going to need the intercession of that saint, because if they get free, it's going to be mayhem, especially Victoria. So you may need to call on that saint to help us out. Maybe put in a good word for us, because Victoria is a lightning bolt. Yeah, she's a mischievous one.
Yeah. Oh, I adopted a cat this year too. Been like one of the things that's gotten me through this year. But I adopted an alley cat off of a demolition site where we were doing the archaeology before they demolished it.
Oh my goodness!
And she is adorable, but good Lord, she is. She is queen of her realm. Surprised she's not biting my ankles right now. But, yeah, I'm not going to bring her with me.
What's her name?
Her name? Her full name is Freya Mehitabel Sachet.
Oh, nice.
I just call her Freya or Frey.
Great name.
That's so cute.
That is awesome. Well, that's how angels come into our lives. It's unexpected and in mysterious ways. So I'm glad that Freya came into your world. Yeah, because I know last year is a rough one on your end, but that's good that you had a little angel find their way to you. That's awesome.
Aww.
I did see the pictures on Instagram and so forth.
Yeah,
definitely. We'll have to meet Freya at some point. So, but.
Probably not at an event. I would not loose her on your event that way. She would destroy everything in her sight.
Yeah, we're not planning to bring the cats onto the convention floor, but they will be up in the room. So we will definitely make sure that you, T. Lee, and Marion come up for a quick meeting so you can hang out with them and just see them. And they've grown up quite a bit since we first adopted them. So, yeah, they just hit two. So they're hale and hearty and still full of energy and all that good stuff. But yeah, they're definitely a little bit bigger, especially Albert. Yeah, he's turned into quite the tank, as I call it. Yeah, very very burly, muscular cat, and then Victoria is very very sleek and elegant, I guess is the right word.
Curious cat.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they just have fun. They are truly bonded and siblings, and they just love each other. And I couldn't be happier that I refused to walk out that place that day without adopting them both, because I want to make sure they stay together. And that was back. And weird thing is, on the topic of angels coming into your world when you least expect it and right when you need them, they came into our world just a couple few weeks before the pandemic hit. So that's when we found them. You know, we weren't expecting to get a cat that day. Just we're keeping an eye out, to adopt one cat. That was the plan. And ran into them, didn't want to separate them, took them on the spot. And they were a godsend to us during 2020. So your Freya, I can definitely kind of see the same dynamic, just coming into your world when you need them. It's weird how that happens, you see it. Yeah, when you step back a bit, you can see it plain as day. And that's cool. And so, but I know cats are obviously a big part of your world per Bastet. I mean, you have a cat logo on the logo. I mean,
that's right.
Folks, I am not going off topic here. When you're talking with Sarah, T. Lee, and Marion, or anybody from Burbank, if you mentioned cats, that is on topic.
Cats are never off topic.
No, well, I happen to think so too, but yeah, it's definitely great that you have a new one. Yeah, and I definitely love the pictures. So keep them coming. But we're getting ready to run on the end of the show here. So give us your links real quick before we bring this to a close. We got about 90 seconds before they log us out, so we went over the time here.
Okay, let me see. I'm pulling up my blog, which I haven't updated in forever. So you guys can pester me to get that up to date. And then I guess I'll do my Facebook page. And the ProBastet Publications Facebook page.
Yeah, go for it. You got about 60 seconds before they cut us off here.
And you get ProBastet, and then we'll be
sure. She's linking them in the chat room. So everyone that's in the chat room.
ProBastetPublications.com. I know that website address, ProBastetPublications.com. I know that one. SarahMarion.com. Yeah, definitely want to visit there, folks.
Yeah, Per Bastet and Sarah Marion on Facebook.
Sarah Marion Books on Instagram. So I believe it's Sarah Marion Books on Instagram, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And
Goodreads.
I don't think I'm not following you on Instagram. I'll have to
Well, you
do
should.
That. Yes. I agree.
Well, thank you for joining us. They're going to cut us off because, we went over the time. But loved having you, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely we're going
to
have you back for an encore
Great
soon because
to
we
you.
Were. Bye-bye.
Bye.